I was raised in the church, which I didn't really know what that means, but I was brought to church as a young man, most of that time willingly and some of that time unwillingly. Remembering times of my mom or dad taking the sheets off my bed, making sure that I would get up, and mostly that was in my teenage years when I just, you know, didn't want to get up. I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't really know, but I knew him enough that I did love God as a child, and I was baptized at the age of 16, and I was a part of our youth ministry, and we did, you know, things that, you know, as a group together, and I really did have a heart for Jesus. But somewhere along the way in my teenage years, I started to rebel, and it's, you know, so cliche anymore, but, you know, the bottom line is my dad didn't know Jesus. When I was a young boy, my dad didn't know who, I think he knew of God, but he didn't have, you know, a walk with Jesus. He knew truth, but there was absolutely no grace there whatsoever. So that's a very dangerous thing, to know truth but no grace. And it's about having a soft heart or a hard heart. If you open the Bible with a hard heart, the Bible's got a lot of harsh words, and we serve an angry God, and that's all you see. But when you come to the Bible with a soft heart, you see the love of God, and you see the love of Christ, both in the old and in the new. So my dad, he did the best he could. He loved us as he knew, but he didn't have the love of Jesus when I was a child. So for most of my adult life, up until the time I was 38 years old, I've been hot for Jesus, I've been cold for Jesus, and I've been lukewarm for many of the years. So there was a time in my life that you could say, you know, I don't know if Larry knows Jesus at all. Gosh, he drinks on weekends, he parties like anybody else, he doesn't say anything about God. That was me. That was me when I was in college. I moved away from home. I moved away from God. But then, you know, I came back to God. You know, it's a roller coaster case for God. And so anyway, in 2006, the very end of the year, only after I started going to a men's Bible study on Wednesdays, that was the only thing I was doing spiritually. And that's when God really started to work on me, and he basically, you know, he gave me that nudge that everyone probably on this call can realize, that says, you know, God said to me, if you do one thing every week, I want you to be at that Bible study on Wednesday morning. And that was the beginning of discipline for me. Before that point, I didn't know what discipline was. I had new routine bone in my body. So I started to go to that Bible study in 2006, and then at the very end of that year, he put on my heart to read through his word. And that's something I'd never done before. I wasn't taking the Bible seriously at all, his word, his love letter to us. And I started sharing that with a few people, a few close Christian friends. I'd say, you know, hey, God gave me this idea to read through the word. And they'd say, hey, that's great, Larry. And it was kind of like, you know, I don't know why I was telling people. I really don't. I was just, you know, that's just the idea I got to do. And then I shared that with my brother, who's in Pennsylvania. And Jeff said, hey, why don't I join you? It's been something he's always wanted to do. And he joined us. He joined me. And we just decided to go through the same reading plan. And that was really the beginning of my reawakening with God. That's when my relationship with him really started to blossom. That's when the sprouts started really getting green and growing. And above and beyond reading, starting this habit of reading was a different prayer life. My prayer language changed. And it went to more of a, Lord, I want to get to know you. Please reveal yourself to me. And I don't know how to describe it, my friends. I can't take any credit for it. And I don't know of any teacher that really told me how to pray differently. But I just, there was this burning desire, I think, in my heart to get to know Jesus on a personal level, to really, really walk with him. So then I started walking down that path, and my brother, who lived in Pennsylvania, I was in California, and we started talking once a week about what we were reading. So it became this dynamic change in my life of infusing the Word of God, infusing a prayerful relationship, prayer with God, and then an ongoing Bible study. Nothing formal whatsoever. I wasn't even going to church. I was not even attending church services. This was something God did in me and in my brother. And my brother and I have such a more intimate relationship now. When we talk, we not only talk about our lives, we talk about the scriptures. We talk about what God's Amen. Doing in our lives. So you can just imagine how my life started to change. And then I met a guy at Bible study that really took me under his wing. He was 30 years older than me. And this is one of the conversations that really, really changed my life. And I said, his name's Lee, and I loved him dearly. I still love him. He went to be with the Lord last year in 2013. And Lee, I asked him, I said, how long have you been reading the Word of God? Because it was my first year, really, reading it seriously. And Lee said to me, he says, I've been reading it for 30 years. And that just impressed upon me that if it's not old for him, if it's not just some other book to read and put down on the shelf, then it shouldn't be old for me. It should continue to, you know, be read. So I read through the Word. I was obedient that year in prayer, in reading, and in fellowship. And so by the end of the year, I was so excited. I was on fire for God, and I just wanted to share that with everybody. So I made these email lists of everybody that I knew, and I invited them to seek God. And nothing really great happened out of that. You know, I didn't see any fruit or result out of that. But what was key is I wanted everyone to experience God as I had. So then I started this idea of the Bible team, and the Bible team was all about helping people get into the Word of God, to open the book, because I feel like it's not preached enough from our pulpits. And I'm not going to get into that, but for the Bible team, I wanted to put tools and, you know, tips, everything that I had learned, everything that God has taught me up until that point online, because God has given me a gift of technical ability so I could put a website up. And then I thought, well, why don't we have a conference call? And that's what we do every Monday night. We gather for 1 hour on Monday nights and talk about God and His Word. And it's the most dynamic call I've ever been a part of. And it's just, you know, anything goes on those calls. And we stick to Scripture and godly topics, so mostly Scripture. So anyway, I've been changed ever since. God took me from being lukewarm to being on fire. And I think there's a whole lot of people in our pews today that are lukewarm, that want, and it's not, I'm not saying that to blame those people. I'm saying that they don't know any better because they're not being led by the man behind the pulpit enough, or they're not meeting with someone on a regular basis to know what true discipleship is. So my topic and my whole passion that God's given me is about true discipleship. It's about meeting God regularly through other people, through the Word, and through prayer, and I just feel like that's been lost. So for those people in the pews that are like, is this it? Is this all there is? A Sunday sermon and some Bible reading here and there? Is that all there is to this Christian walk? My friends, mm-hmm. when we read the scriptures, is it not a drastic difference from what we see in our churches? We see the book of Acts, and I believe that that's for us. I believe that those signs, those wonders, the healings, that is for us. And I feel like there's this great, great disbelief within our own churches that God still works the same way. Right. God never changes. He is the same God then as He is today. And I just don't understand it. We have so many dead churches that don't expect anything from God. And we got churches that say, well, we got a better doctrine than you, and we got it down. We know the doctrine like this, and you guys are teaching the wrong thing. Well, that's hogwash. For those that are in Jesus, we have the same word of God. For those that are in Jesus, we are a true unified body of Christ.
Yeah.
I don't care where you came from. I don't care where you've been teaching. If you love Jesus, we're all in Christ.
Yep.
Forget about denominations. We leave denominations at the door on these calls. It's all about followers of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen.
So that's really where my passion is. My two passions in life that God's put on my heart is discipleship. And with true discipleship, we will unify the body of Christ. We will become one, and we will become beautiful.
Amen.
Because our love, because of our love for each other, that we can gather on a Saturday for any given, you know, churches that we belong to, or backgrounds or color, it doesn't matter. We come together and we worship Jesus, who brings us all together as one.
So, amen.
That is my background. Today I want to talk about God calling the ordinary to do the extraordinary. And I'd like to welcome one more fella to the call. He's my dear friend, John Eilers. I don't know if he's on mute. He might be on mute because I know he's busy. He's been in his hometown of Bradford, Pennsylvania for about a week now. John, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm driving in the hills of Bradford, Pennsylvania, and I am losing service back and forth, so I did get on around. Hi, everybody. I got on, and thank you. It's just I'll be near Interstate 80 shortly, and I shouldn't lose you, but I'll call back if I do. And thank you, Larry, for your testimony and your excitement.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I want to share, you know, God has led me to some amazing relationships. And I only know John, I only know Barbara, I only know Brooke and Andy, all through Facebook. I met Pastor John only over the phone in California through another friend. So Pastor John and I share a friend, Stephen McCann, who, you know, is still in our lives. But Stephen hasn't been on this call since 2008. And then Brooke and Andy, I met Brooke through Facebook, Barbara through Facebook, and John Eilers. So dear friends. Through Facebook, this is pretty remarkable. So let's start with the study. God's given me some ideas for this topic. God calls the ordinary to do the extraordinary, and that's me. I am ordinary. As I shared in my testimony, I don't have any Bible formal Bible knowledge. Nothing that I went to seminary. I didn't go to Bible college at all. But you know what? God's given me passion, and He's led me through the Word. In 2007, I got the conviction to read through the Word for 5 years straight. And so, since He's helped me read it through 1 year, which I've never done before in my life, and I'm a slow reader. For me to say that boggles my mind. I was labeled as a slow reader. Reading used to hurt my brain. I used to fall asleep reading all the time. So in 2007, I got this conviction, you know, this strong urge to, you know, Larry, if you keep this up, you're off to a good start. I want you to read through the Word 5 years straight. Well, 5 years came and went, and I thought, well, now what do I do? Well, I just kept on reading. I didn't have anything else to do. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I have the conviction that I should read the whole Word of God. Because it's all good for me, and I felt like I missed out on 38 years previously that I haven't been taking them seriously. So that's my conviction. I don't like to put that on other people. I don't like to tell other people, you need to read the whole Bible. I think everyone should read the whole Bible because it's all good. It's all from God. It's all God's Word, and you read the New Testament authors. They said we should read it because we need to be warned. And for all the other things, to know the character of God, you can get things in the Old Testament that you can't get in the New. So that's my conviction. So I just kept on reading. So now I'm on, I don't know, my eighth year or something like that. And I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I just keep reading. What's awesome, it's been a blessing to me. So, but other than that, I'm ordinary. You know, understand? The only reason makes me extraordinary is God.
Amen.